were to go to the bridge and to stay at that bridge until they were relieved and guard it. So they went to their posts and they guarded it 3 days, three nights, no food, no blankets, nothing, just standing there. And so they were tired, they were hungry, they were cold, they were sleepy, and they weren't relieved of their duty. They were actually found. You see, they'd been guarding the wrong bridge. They walked 7 miles in the wrong direction from their post, and they were at the wrong bridge. And everybody's like, where are they? And then they finally found them, and they were faithful, and they commended them for their faithfulness, but they missed the mark. And you see, many people in relationships, they're guarding the wrong bridge. And we commend them. You got 10 years of marriage. Ah, you got 20 years of marriage. Ah, praise God if you get those marks. But if you're like messed up in your marriage, that's like telling someone in jail, you got 10 years in jail. Oh, awesome. You got 20 years in jail. You did better. We don't commend the length of time. And if your relationship's just doing time, there's no medal in heaven that says you get a lot of, even bigger medal if you did, if you had a marriage that was just fill in the blanks. All I'm saying to you is that it's great to do a longer time. It's great to have length of years, but you better be doing it right. And you better be guarding the right bridge. You better be on the right mission, not just your mission, but God's mission. And God's mission in relationship is healthy and happy relationships. Say healthy and happy relationships. So if you say, well, I'm single, I'm not married, well, you can still gain from this. And if you're here and you say, well, you know, everyone can gain from this because we all need to have healthy and happy relationships. So what we don't want, and I hope that maybe this will minister to you if you're in a relationship, but maybe you feel relationally starved like those guys guarding the bridge. 3 days with no food? Yeah, I'd be hungry. Relationally, some people are starved relationally and you're in a relationship. Maybe you feel tired. Maybe you're in there and you're just, I'm just tired. You know, maybe you feel like those soldiers because you just feel like cold and it's cold out there. Maybe you feel abandoned. Maybe you feel like you're just the only one who knows you're out there and you're in a relationship where you feel lonely, but you're in a relationship. And so maybe you're guarding the wrong bridge. And yet God wants us to have happy and healthy relationships. He wants us to be on target. And so if we don't know the goal of the target, we could be on the wrong mission. You can be faithful to the wrong thing. You can be faithful to guard a bridge. It's not even the bridge he told you to guard. So we need to be in the at the we need to be doing the right thing, and that's what God will honor. And in relationships, the relationships are supposed to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and that's what we're supposed to model. In Ephesians 5:15-33, it says, "See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil." I don't care how messed up it was in the past; you can redeem it from this day forward. It says, don't be unwise, but understand the will of the Lord is, don't be drunk with wine, which is dispensation, but be filled with the Spirit. We're supposed to be filled with the Spirit in our relationships, not just at church, but speaking to one another. We're supposed to be filled with the Spirit when we speak to one another. Songs, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart, giving thanks always in all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus, submitting to one to another in the fear of the Lord. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ the head of the church. And he's the Savior of the body. Therefore, just the church is subject to Christ. Let wives be subject to their own husbands and everything. You know, some of you guys, you're like, I can't wait. Thank you. You finally got to that verse. Verse 22. Wives, submit to your husbands as unto the Lord. I've been waiting for him to say that. I've been waiting to amen the pastor. But here it is. Amen, pastor. Can I tell you something right now? That word submit isn't even in the original text under verse 22. It doesn't exist. It's not in there. It doesn't exist. But it's proper that they put it there because they're coming off of the thought in verse 21 where it says submit one to another. So wives submit is only in context to mutual submission, which is communicated in verse 21. It doesn't even exist in the Greek in verse 22. They just put it in there because it fits in context. So if you think wife submit means you, it's an excuse to dominate your spouse, y'all messed up. You need to go back and study your Bible because it means in context to mutual submission. Husbands and wives, there's a submitting one to another. A woman can preach just like a man can preach. A woman can prophesy like a man can prophesy. And if a woman does finance better, let her do the finance. If a woman can cook better, let her cook. If the man can cook, hey, Emerald, bam, let the man cook. But there's a mutual submission with the husband and a wife. But there is an order, and God does have a last. There's an order, and he doesn't want it to have like a standoff where two people don't know. One time I'm driving into Yosemite, and I drove all night, but I just wanted to get there. The youth had a youth group thing, and I was trying to get there. Five deer in the road. Two went down, two went up. One didn't know which way to go. And I'm like, make up your mind, make up your mind, make up your mind. I'm going fast, sorry. And I'm coming around the corner, and the deer's right there in my headlights, and I'm like, make up your mind, go somewhere, or I'm in trouble. And then the deer decided to make the right decision. Well, thank God, hopefully if her husband was in the crew, she followed her husband, But like, there has to be order, so God put an order saying, yeah, there's a submission in order, but there's a mutual submission. And if we take that out of context to establish dominance, you're all messed up, because we messed it up. And in this text, if you read it, the word's not there in 22. And if you keep reading the text down, verse 25 says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, that he may sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water of the word. Listen how rich this is. That he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourished and cherished it, just as the Lord does the church. For we're members of his body, of his flesh and bones. For this reason, man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let his wife see that she respects her husband. So verse 33 really gives you the key to 22 when it says wives submit. It really is wives respect, and they're qualifying it down below, and they pulled 22 out of the verse above it. So number one in this thing is number one is woman submit, and I already kind of gave you the feel for that. I think it's ridiculous, but I think that's the kind of the attitude in a lot of ways is that, so I just was doing it for shock value, but number one is woman submit. And I think and so many Christians quote this, and I just qualified that we have to put it in context, and we have to see that there's a mutual submission, and that God wants in the body and with all gifts and in all functions and even in the church. So moving right along, some people say, well, you're telling me to submit, but basically he needs to act like Jesus so I could submit, because I could submit to Jesus, but he's a fool. And maybe that, maybe it's the other way around too. And the husband's saying, well, I would love to love her like Jesus loved, but she's not giving me anything to love. She is a nag. And I know I'm just throwing things out there, but I might be at the extreme, but whatever your discount is, why you think you can't do your job, I want to ask you a question. You could tell me he don't deserve to be honored and she doesn't deserve to be loved. But can I ask you, who in here deserves God's love? Don't put your hand up, because none of us deserve it. Who in here deserved forgiveness? Because if you answer that, you won't have a problem with the other part. But if you don't get this, please, if you don't get anything, get this today. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. That's what we deserve. We deserve death. None of us deserve life. It's a grace of God. It's a gift of God. It's eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Just as God gifted us grace, he gifted us that gift of forgiveness and salvation in him. So we've been given the gift of forgiveness and the gift of love. God graced us with love. While we were still sinners, Christ loved us. God so loved that he gave his only begotten son. So in the midst of our depravity, God sent, because of his love, he sent his son. In the midst of our depravity, Christ dies on the cross and he loves us with a love of sacrificial love. Then he tells us, husbands, do like Jesus did. Wives, you honor him the way that and even as God, as Christ honored the Father. He gives us a model, and quite frankly, it's one of the highest calls in the Bible. And if we don't get that right, then we mess up marriage. We mess up relationships, because we have to get that right. And God doesn't like to be second point. God likes first point. So if you're not putting God first and pushing after God and trying to model it God's way, you're never going to make it. Because if you put her first or him first, God will knock him off that platform. In a loving way. No, he won't play second to anyone. And when you make an idol, God will knock an idol. I'm not saying he hates people, but he hates it when our priorities are messed up. So why just put God first to start? And your husband or your wife can always be the second under Jesus. And if you're pressing after Jesus and you seek first the kingdom, the rest of this stuff becomes easy. If we settle it that we don't love because they deserve it, we love because God so loved me, we got it. If we honor, not because they deserve honor, but because God already graced and forgave me, and I need to honor my husband just as I would honor and give that, that's the key. So that's the first place we start from. And when we start from that place, all the rest makes it a little bit easier. You know, but sometimes we're not so sensitive, men. You know, I do weddings and I messed up my own vows. As in the wedding, and you know, like, I know these things. I say them all the time, but I mess my own up. They said, you know, the one line I messed up. There's a couple things they messed up I corrected, and I did pretty good on that side. But, you know, the pastor said the wrong thing. He said, you know, I, your wife. And I'm like, I, your husband. Hello, I'm not the wife. Anyway, just moving right along. But I said, instead of saying, I commit to be sensitive, I changed the word and said sensible. Because it just made sense. And sometimes we're not as sensitive as we need to be, but I'm like, well, dude, if I'm sensible, I'll be sensitive. Come on, guys. Aren't we just sensible sometimes? We're sensible. It's sensible. But we need to learn to be more sensitive. So I'm always remembering that because I think God's trying to remind me. It's like, you may be a preacher boy, but you need to be more sensitive to your wife. You know? And sometimes I maybe not be that sensitive. When my truck's on two wheels and we're trying to get somewhere, it's not sensitive because she's freaking out. Don't do that. Bad pastor. But sometimes, guys have done some pretty insensitive things. One guy, this woman was marrying this guy, and she was questioning him, and all the way to the altar, she still married him. She gets to the altar, she's going up to the altar, and he's got his golf clubs on the altar. She gets up there, and she's like, why are your clubs up here? And he goes, this isn't going to take all day, is it? Insensitive man. But women can be insensitive, too. There's a widow whose husband died, and she goes to the obituary. She wants to get it right. She's saying, you know, can we put this obituary in here? And the guy says, it's going to be X amount per word. So she says, okay, just write, Miles Wright died. And the guy's kind of amused at her. You know, she's a little thrifty. We'll give her credit. And he said, there's a 7-word minimum. And so she said, Miles Wright died, golf clubs for sale. Whoops, in an obituary. It wasn't so sensitive. Guys can be insensitive. Girls can be insensitive. We all can blow it. And we can all drop our we can all miss it. But, you know, I want to let you know right now that if we think I can just be non-relational because that's how I am, you were made in the image of God, and God's a relational God. Doesn't say he, who should they say I am? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's a relational God. He's relational. God, look at him. He's relational. Jesus was relational. And so if you say, I'm made in the image of God, then you're going to embrace relationships and get better at relationships because you want to be like him. And if you're not doing so good in relationships, you need to learn to because you got to be more like him. Number two, husbands just love her. Number two is husbands love her. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself. Listen, if you were sitting in the church, now this word love, it's the word agape in the Greek. It's the highest form of love. This is agape love. He said, if you were sitting there in Ephesus and you were sitting in the church and they're reading the letter, Paul, our apostolic leader, has sent us a letter. And they're like, Timothy's like, come on, we're going to read this letter. This is awesome. Pastor Tim is up to the plate. He's going, I'm going to read the letter. And it says, woman, you will submit, you know, and then the guys are like, yeah, that's right. It was a male dominated culture. All that woman, you know, submission, they would have been like, done, no problem. I mean, if a woman just burned dinner, they could divorce him. They didn't have a reason. They could just, whatever. They divorced for no reason. It sounds like California, just no-fault divorce. Hello, go on the internet, just get a divorce. Just, you know, people, it's lame. You know, what a society. And so they could have messed it up and heard wrong. So if the man was sitting there in these male-dominated societies listening to this, maybe the first part didn't even, if they misunderstood it, they still could have just been like, no problem. But when they said, husbands, agape your wife, these guys are falling off their chair. Because agape means husbands, love your wives with an unconditional love. No matter what she does. Love your wife if she burned the dinner. Love your wife if she did this. Love your wife if she did that. Love your wife if you come home and the children are hanging from the roof. Love your wife whether the house is clean or not. Love your wife whether she's, you know, happy or sad. Love your wife no matter what happens. Love your wives unconditionally. And the men were like, This changed all of society. This changed everything. This rocked their culture. This was so culturally shocking that it just, the men were like, whoa, like raccoon looking at headlights, like the deer was looking at my headlights. It was like crazy. And this is what happened. And, you know, so we need to understand that this was a kind of a love that God is calling for, that he even used that with the church to say, as Christ loved the church. They all knew Christ laid his life down for the church. They were closer to that time of the cross. They understood Jesus laid his life down. Jesus was sacrificial. You're talking about sacrificial love, unconditional love. I mean, love is basically, you know, if she feels loved, she feels connected. She feels safe. She feels nourished. It's like, come on, guys. Does she feel safe? Does she feel connected? Does she feel nourished? I think I got 2 out of 3 if we're not driving. But a lot of times she says, I don't feel safe because, like, if we got to get there, man, sensible says we're going to speed a little bit. And maybe I put a little too much speed to the, you know, whatever. But, you know, like, I need to be more sensitive. So when I'm not being sensitive, I need to drrive sensitive. I thought I had 8 cylinders to get there faster. And we're always in a race, aren't we, guys? Just admit it. I've seen you on the freeway. Hello. But we need to make them feel safe. We need to make them feel connected. You know, you need love unconditionally. And so husbands, just love her. And, you know, Matthew Henry said it this way. He said, if man had not sinned, he would have always ruled with wisdom and love. And if woman had not sinned, she would have always had that, the characteristics with that obedience and humility and meekness would have already been there. Basically what he said, this isn't a gender issue. This is a sin issue. And I got to tell you right now, that call to agape love, men, don't be squirming in your seat thinking like, you know, this was something hard for me. Think how it was for the church back then when they heard this. This was a cultural shock that rocked them. But I got to tell you this, it's not just for men. It's for every Christian on the planet. That God calls, Jesus said, love Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. If you're married or not married, if you're a college student and you say, well, I'm out of that one, I don't have to do. No, if you're in the youth ministry, if you're in the college ministry, you're called to give agape love to the people. Are you with me? All of us as Christians are called to give and to demonstrate agape love. As a husband, we're to so mirror Christ's agape love that she is attracted to you the way that people are attracted to Jesus. If you say, put some wheels to that, it's like, be model Christ so much that, and you know what? It's like, she's going to have no problem coming to you because Jesus is attractive. Just saying. So a few quick things for you. Number 3, how to have a healthy and happy marriage. How to have healthy and happy. You know, you can have happy, but if it's not healthy, it's going to come up. And happy is only going to last so far until it rocks. You could have a mountain, and you could have this mountain, and it looks like that's a happy mountain. We're going to go up there and have a happy picnic with our happy meal. But if that's Hawaii, and there's like some stuff under the soil, it could not be happy after a while and erupt. Are you with me? Go to a picnic on a volcano. Not the smartest place to have a picnic. Huh? So if it's unhealthy, it may have little spouts like Yellowstone going off, but pretty soon Mount St. Helens is coming. And you know, if you take the saint out of Mount St. Helens, you just have Helen. So, and sometimes, I know that was so cheesy, but I just was going for it. I was bad. Did I do good? I would have been good in the campus thing to do, but basically, what I'm telling you is sometimes you guys have a Mount St. Helens, and you're like, where'd that come from? It's because you're trying to be happy, but something's unhealthy, and you keep ignoring the unhealthy thing. And sometimes it has to be a little unhappy to get it healthy. No pain, no gain. So you have to touch the unhappy to get it healthy, but the long-term goal is healthy and happy. So you got to get healthy. You got to have healthy communication. You have to have healthy relationships. And if you don't learn to get healthy communication skills, you won't have it. And you'll have those spouts and you'll have those meltdowns. You'll have all that stuff in not a good way. So here's a few tips. So 3A, to stay healthy, you need to guard your heart. If you're going to stay healthy, you got to guard your heart. So Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all diligence. From out of it flows the springs of life. If you don't guard your heart, then stuff's going to just... See, the level of joy in our lives doesn't come from the level of love your spouse. I'm not getting any love, so I'm miserable. You know what? If you're miserable, it's because of something else. And it's not anything earthly. It's not your spouse, and it's not your boss, and it's not your bank. It is basically... Joy is... it's divine. Joy comes from heaven. Joy comes from a flow from God. If you're not getting joy, joy is something that's heavenly. It flows, and it flows from a heart that's had the word placed in it. A wordless person, you know, it's like dog's not man's best friend. A book is man's best friend. It's called the Bible. And you get the word in you, and you'll get joy in you, and joy, it's from heaven, and happy will flow out of it. You got to get the word in you, and you get the word inside of you, and it's powerful. So four ways to guard your heart, real quick. Four things. One is identify any area in your heart that doesn't reflect God's love. Can I tell you something? Your spouse will help you identify areas that don't reflect God's love. Are you smart enough to figure that out? Because if you don't, you're just defensive. No, 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 that's not me, that's you, blah, blah, blah. Okay, be smart enough to know that they, and you might not want to even take it, like you might be like, yeah, okay, I'll pray on that one. But listen, okay? Because you need to identify any area in your heart that doesn't reflect God's love. And then you know, Galatians 5:13 says, a New Living Translation says, if you've been called to live in freedom, not freedom to satisfy your sinful nature, but freedom to serve one another in love. The Holy Spirit in your freedom is so you can serve in love. So find whatever doesn't reflect that. And then the next one is find a verse that addresses the behavior that needs to change. What did Jesus do when the devil came at him? He found a word and counteracted him. Huh? She mentioned he used to be a martial arts instructor. You counter whatever's coming at you. If they're coming at you one way, you counteract that. In military strategy, there's an effort move forward. You have a military response that counters that thing. Well, if you have an area that's not right, then you need to find the area that makes it right. Find the word of God. And then once you get it, so one, you identify the area. Next, you find a verse that counteracts it and that addresses behavior in a godly way. And then memorize it. Psalms 119:9-11 says, how can a young man keep his way pure? But by keeping according to thy word, thy word I've hidden in my heart. We need to get the word, hide the word in our heart. And once we get it, then repeat the verse in your mind several times a day. Meditate on it. You know, as you thinketh, so is he. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So if you meditate on a word, you're going to be like that word. So if you go around going, my wife stinks, my husband stinks, this and that. Guess what? They're going to stink and you're going to have a stinky relationship. But if you start prophesying to it because you're unhappy, and you start declaring, no, my marriage is blessed. My wife satisfies me at all times. I am blessed and blessed. He gives me abundant life. You got to make declarations. You got to start meditating on the good, not the bad. And a good thing to do on a date is to write down 10 things that they do that just is awesome. You know, if you keep focusing on the negative. I remember taking Teresa mountain biking to the top of Mammoth on the Cornice 10,000 foot drop. She was awesome. First time on a mountain bike, I took her to the top of Mammoth. What was I doing? Anyway, the wind's like a freight train. I just told her, wherever you look, you'll go. Don't look over the edge of the cliff. Because we were on like, it was like, and she just followed my tire, probably with hands clasped tight, but she followed me. And I just said, follow my tire and just let's go. And we just jumped on and just down the mountain. It was awesome. For me. Anyway, that was messed up. I have just confessed that one. But just saying, what was I talking about? Okay, so let's go to the next one, 3B. Can we just go to this next one? If you're going to be happy, you need a plan for happy. So I'm going to give you five ways real quick and take notes. Five ways. You got to plan for happy. So one, plan together. Plan a time at the beginning of your week. Come on, you guys plan for everything. You plan your health. You plan your meals when you shop. You planned your finance out and your budget. You planned your health as you set up your whatever you're going to do. How about plan for happy? How about you make a way? Plan together time in the beginning of your week, whether it's a date night to plan, a fun outing you're going to do. Happy just doesn't happen. You got to make it happen. Okay, next one is be a student of your spouse's smile. So one, plan together time, some happy time. And then be a student of their smile. What makes them, you got to know them. Like last night we were at dinner. She knew exactly what I was going to order. I went at the table. She said, he's going to have chili relleno. He's going to have this. She knows what I like. And she told him and then came back to the seat. And then basically I ordered the same thing she just was telling the, you were sitting there, right? She told him the same thing that I was going to eat because she knows. I could probably order for her because I know what she likes. I know what makes her happy. Be a student of your spouse's smile. What do they like? What do they need? Are you here? But not just food, but men like food. Ladies, remember that one. But be a student of their smile. And the last three, make eye-to-eye contact. This is really important because experts have proved that if your relationship's deep, you're going to have more eye-to-eye, and if it's shallow, you're going to have less. So if your talking's always while you're driving, that's not good. If it's always like where you're not, you have to connect. And sometimes we like to snuggle next to each other when we sit down in a restaurant or something, but I say, can you sit across from me so I can see your beautiful face? And she's like, oh. Come on, guys. You got to have eye-to-eye and have some quality connect time. And the less eye-to-eye, the less depth of your relationship. Just throwing it out there to you. Eye-to-eye. You need eye-to-eye and not when you're horizontal. Just saying. Moving right along. Sorry, that was bad. I'm in trouble for that one. I'm talking eye-to-eye quality time. Are you with me? Moving right along fast. The next one, set boundaries on outside relationships. This is important. If you're spending too much time with whatever, you got to set boundaries so that you're not stealing that from your spouse. Because some things can pull off your time. You got to like set boundaries that no one can have more time than I get with my best friend, my spouse. Okay? Just saying. And the last one is think. So you can write this down. It's T-H-I-N-K. Does the issue need to be brought up? Is it true? Is it helpful? Is it important? Is it necessary? And is it kind? Is it true? Is it helpful? Is it important? Is it necessary? Is it kind? Think before you like go into some deep thing that you didn't need to die on that mountain. Don't die on it. Think first. Is it true? Is it helpful? Is it important? Is it necessary? Is it kind? And just the last thing, recipe for happy marriage is take a cup of love. Say, oh, 2 cups of loyalty, 3 cups of forgiveness, 4 quarts of faith, 1 barrel of laughter, 1 barrel of laughter, 1 barrel of laughter. Take love and loyalty and mix it thoroughly with faith. Blend it with tenderness, kindness, and understanding. Add friendship and hope. Sprinkle abundantly with laughter, abundantly with laughter, abundantly with laughter. If you don't laugh, you die. Laughter. Bake it with sunshine. Wrap it regularly with lots of hugs. Serve generous helpings daily. And you've got a marvelous recipe for a happy marriage. Sounds simple? Stand to your feet. God, I pray that you'd give them tools to have the best relationships on the planet. I just bless your body. And I pray right now that your word would go deep in their heart. I pray if anyone's in this room and doesn't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, if you believe and you've never spoken it, the Bible says that if you confess me before men, I'll confess you. Say, Father, forgive me. I want to be saved. I want to serve you. God promises you that when you pray that prayer, that he forgives your sins. In 1 John 1:9, he says that he's faithful to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Be blessed. You're an awesome church. Go practice these principles. And God bless you. We'll see you next week.